So Carol read from the book of Numbers this morning that God instructs Moses to make a pole with a poisonous serpent on it, and anyone who is bitten will look at it and live, which is a weird thing to do, I'll grant you, the whole snake on a pole thing. But the whole deal, this snake on a pole, it's about healing. And maybe it's not as weird as it seems at first, because we actually still to this day think of healing when we see a snake on a pole. Anybody ever seen this one before? Well, if I can get it to work. Anybody ever seen that before? This was originally, this snake on a pole, the symbol of the American Medical Association, and now you see it on most all ambulances, and there are literally dozens of other medical associations that use some variation of this snake on a pole. They use it as a symbol of healing. If you happen to be sitting on a Blue Cross Blue Shield card in your wallet, your insurance card, you'll see it there. And it's because all of these companies have keyed into the fact that when we see this snake on a pole, healing is what we think of. So much so that a fair number of companies and even some medical associations actually incorrectly use this symbol, which is not historically having anything to do with healing. It's the staff of the Greek god Hermes, and it doesn't really reference healing at all. Except it's got snakes on it and there's a pole, and so people see that and associate it with healing. For us, though, as Christians, the reason any of this is relevant is because Jesus talks about this snake on a pole that God had Moses to put up to heal the people. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, Jesus says, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. So when Jesus talks about the Son of Man being lifted up, you know what he's getting at? It's the cross, right? Jesus is comparing what's going to happen to him on the cross with what happened with Moses and the Israelites in the wilderness, namely, healing is what we're talking about. That's what Jesus says is going on in the cross, which again is a little weird because the Romans intended the cross to be about pain, about shame, about public humiliation, but Jesus says it's about something different, healing. What the Romans intended for harm and evil, well, God intended for good in Jesus Christ. So, on the cross and in the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, God transforms sin, death, and darkness into light and life. And this is really amazing news for all of us who have been captive to sin and death. But here's the thing. If you are used to darkness, well then light is unpleasant sometimes at first. Every morning, Marcus calls out to me. Usually I'm still asleep, and I go get him out of his crib, usually before the sun comes up. And there's only one thing on his mind as soon as I pick him up. Until I get there, it's daddy, daddy, daddy. But as soon as I touch him, it's milk, milk, milk. So in the dark, we go to the refrigerator, and without fail, as soon as we open the door, he jerks his face away and he covers his face and he goes, eyes, bright, bright. Because when you're used to the dark, even if it's only a refrigerator bulb, that sudden bright light is unpleasant. And this, Jesus says, is the judgment. That the light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than light. You don't have to look too terribly far to find plenty of people, plenty of sermons out there who take this passage from the third chapter of John and will use it to tell you that what God is about is condemning those who don't believe, that you better decide to accept Jesus right now or eternal fiery torment is what God has in store for you. And that makes me go, huh? Do they even read this passage? God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Saved, that's the opposite of condemnation. And in fact, the third chapter of John does not say a word about God condemning anybody, but that they are condemned already. In other words, God doesn't decide, I think I'm going to torture some of these folks today. No, condemnation is just the mess all of us are in as long as we are captive to the powers of sin and death. That's what condemnation looks like. And the whole point of this passage from the third chapter of John is that God loves us and is not okay with that. God wants more for us than that condemnation. So let's listen to this familiar verse with new ears this morning. God so loved the world, which says to us that it all starts with love, and not just love for the especially good folks or the beautiful folks or the smart folks. God so loved the entire world that he gave, not as reward or payment, but as gift. God gave Jesus, God's only Son, so that all who believe in him would not perish, but have eternal life. That's who God is, the God who starts with love, who loves the whole world and gives of himself so that we would not perish but have eternal life. So if we want to talk about judgment, sure, by all means, let's talk about judgment, but not the way that it gets used so often as a threat to try to scare people into heaven or at least coming to church and putting money in the plate. Let's talk about judgment the way Jesus talks about it. It's about Jesus entering into our world and bringing healing through the cross, lighting up the darkness with the brilliance of the sun, and us being so used to the dark that we're not sure we like it. I think about it like this, personally. It's like God is throwing the greatest party, better than you can possibly imagine, right? All the food is set out, all the best drinks are poured already, and you are invited, for that matter, the whole world is invited, summoned even, to this party. But the thing is, this party of the kingdom of God, it's going to be epic. God's been planning it forever. So God's not about to allow all the baggage of sin and death that we carry to come in and ruin this party. So, come on in, God says. Let me help you check your baggage at the door. Believe, be transformed, be made new. And the judgment? It's that some of us would rather cling to our baggage of sin and death than come to the party. Because, well, the baggage is familiar and it's mine and I'm used to it. So instead of joining in with God in the fullness of life, instead of coming to the party, we choose to pout in the parking lot. That's judgment. My parents talk about when I was young, from about the age Marcus is now until I was about 3 or 4. And apparently, I threw the worst tantrums. I know it's hard to believe because I'm sort of lovely now. But it was so bad that they'd tell me that I had to march myself into the bedroom and shut the door and not come out until I was ready to quit that mess. And in the bedroom, I'd scream and roll around on the floor and kick the door and scuff the walls and throw myself on the bed. And this would go on for 15 or 20 minutes until finally, when things quieted down, my parents would open the door just a crack and look in and say, "Okay, are you done? Are you ready to come out now?" And I'd yell, "No!" And I'd kick the door closed and I'd scream again and I'd roll and I'd flail. And I'd refuse to give it up until exhaustion set in and I would eventually fall asleep in there. And here's the thing, I was tall enough, I knew how to open the door, I could have come out anytime I decided that I was done with this tantrum, but that's not the way it went down. Instead, I'd refuse and I'd stew in my own misery. This is God's judgment, that the light forever is accessible to us, but us holding out in the dark. Because, sisters and brothers, God loves us, values us beyond measure, loves the whole world that much, in fact. But God does not love, God will not welcome the sin and death to which we choose so often to cling. God judges those things unequivocally not worthy of God's kingdom. Which is why God is at work even now through the cross and the Holy Spirit to transform and redeem us and the whole of the world that God so loves. The drinks are poured, the table is set, and the light of Christ has come into the world to heal us. It's bright, painful at first maybe, but it's what we're made for. And it sure beats the dark. Amen.